Turn there and let's stand and sing this good old song together. You have to stand and sing this song. We're going to sing about the old time religion tonight.
To see everybody back tonight, and those that weren't here this morning, it's good to see you. Isn't that good? Ray was a smart aleck last night, and he's a smart aleck today. Sometimes things just don't change. But it's good to see you, Ray, always. And I hope you've I got choked on something there, but it wasn't my water. Now that's good water. If you are visiting, we would love for you to fill out a card for us, you know, whether you're just here for the night or you're thinking about maybe coming later, just do a card for us. We'd love to let you know that we know you're here tonight in our house. It's the Lord's house, but it's Liberty Fellowship house, too. And we want to make sure we take good care of those who come through the door. It's our obligation. It's our responsibility. It's our privilege. Right? It is. Okay. Don't forget those things that are happening now in the next week or so. It gets real busy around Christmas. I asked Les about the itinerary. How do you like that word? I can't spell it, but I can say it. The itinerary for next Sunday night is kids. That's all you need to know. It's going to be congregation involvement. So if you'll come, just come ready to get involved next Sunday night with Kids Night. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? Yeah. I believe that the kids are going up to the ice rink and the lights, Bristol lights and all that stuff. When is that, Jackie? Friday. So if you're not a kid, you can't go. So don't even think about it, because this is their time. They're going to see some lights and do some ice skating and eating, I guess. You always eat, don't you? Yeah. And Sunday, Christmas Day at 10 o'clock, will be one service that day, and it's going to be at 10 o'clock, and that's going to be a concert that morning by Amy. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great Christmas day. You'll be glad you got up. You don't have to get in your Sunday best to come that day. You dress the way you want to dress. Just don't come in your PJs. And I hear Pam saying, oh, man. but I know it's Sunday morning, but you know, or Christmas morning. But Christmas morning used to be that time when you got up and you were excited about if there's anything under the tree or if there was a tree. And I don't see that much anymore. We've changed about everything. But that Sunday morning on Christmas Day, I think we owe it to the one we adore, the one who is wonderful, the one who is counselor, the one who is mighty God, the one who is everlasting Father, the one who is Prince of Peace. I think we owe it to him. I don't know about y'all, but I've fallen in love with the word adore this year. Right, Lynn? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I believe next Sunday, are we singing that song, Amy, next Sunday, Adore? Huh? Okay. So there you go. Another reason to be here on Christmas morning. Okay. We're going to take an offering because it looks like we got some folks who have money. Come on, John. I just wanted to let you know that folks from Liberty Fellowship Church, if they don't get a chance to tell you, we love you, and we're glad you're here tonight. Would you bless it? I'm going to do this before Jesse comes to share a song with us. Where's Debbie? Debbie McIntyre. There's Debbie. Back on the, your right, my left, over here. Now, if your name starts with a D, Debbie, I have to tell you, you got to sing a solo before you leave. It's good to have you, Debbie. And let's see, where's Randy? There's Randy right next to Debbie. Randy, you're out. Okay. They're upgrading that section back there. Did you notice that? That used to be the section where everybody sat that was downgraded. They're upgrading it now, so it's good to sit back there now. Randy, good to have you. It really is. And Eddie, Lynn has lots of good stories to tell about Eddie. Right, Lynn? There you go, Eddie. Way to go. And Suzanne, right beside Eddie. And she's right there with my little youngin. Yep. Well, it is so good to have y'all. And now Jesse's going to share a song. You didn't fill out a card. Oh, along with your money, huh? Okay. Nick, would you get that card for me, sir? Well, yeah. I might die in the next 5 minutes. I'd like to see it before I go. Wouldn't you? Keith Blevins. Keith, we're so glad to have you. You're also from Elizabethton area. Make yourself at home. We're glad you're here. Okay, enough of that foolishness. Let's hear a good Christmas song.
Up in the attic, down on my knees, lifetimes of boxes, timeless to me, letters and photographs, yellowed with years, some bringing laughter, some bringing tears. Time never changes the memories, the faces of loved ones who bring to me all that I come from and all that I live for and all that I'm going to be. My precious family is more than an heirloom to me. Wise men and shepherds down on their knees, bringing their treasures to lay at his feet. Who was this wonder baby yet king, living and dying? He gave life to me. Time never changes the memory, the moment his love first pierced through me, telling all that I came from and all that I live for and all that I'm going to be. My precious Savior is more than an heirloom to me. My precious Jesus is more than an heirloom to me.
Can. Nick, come on up, son. Nick's going to share some Christmas joy with us tonight. Would y'all like some good Christmas joy?
Love you, buddy.
Let me get my water.
Okay.
This is yours.
You didn't drink any of it, did you?
I got to keep it straight.
So this is twice. Second time up here, and both times that Sunday morning, Dan said, I've got a surprise for everybody. So everybody knows now when he says he's got a surprise, it's me. So I think the next time he says it, nobody's going to show up that Sunday night, okay? Because everybody's got used to that surprise. But it is good to be out to God's house tonight. Good to feel his wonderful presence. Jesse, beautiful job on that song. And just appreciate everybody being here tonight. A lot of friends and a lot of family here too. I appreciate you all coming. I would name you all, but Dan's already done that. And I won't take any more time doing that. But I do, me and Lene and the kids, do appreciate your all's support tonight. Not only the family and friends, but how well Liberty Fellowship has treated me and my family. And we are very, very thankful for that. But we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 tonight. If you brought your Bibles and... Last time I got up here to speak, I shared a little bit about me and my family, and I'll share a little bit more tonight. For those of you that don't know, I'm a teacher. I've been teaching for, this is my 12th year, and this year I started teaching what they call the Carter County Online Academy, and I never thought in a million years I'd be teaching for an academy, but I'm teaching for an academy, and it's fun. I enjoy doing it and things like that, but really when the school year first started, we're located up at Hampton Elementary, and our offices are out there in a portable, and the fire alarm went off. So I was doing a live Google Meet on the computer there, and I said, guys, the fire alarm's going off. I got to go out in the field. Said, I know you all are at home, but if you want to go outside and play or whatever for a few minutes, you go right ahead. I said, when the fire alarm goes off, just come back. Well, they had no way of knowing the fire alarm went off because they wasn't at the same location I was at. So I came back to the meet, none of them showed up. Next morning, I said, guys, where'd y'all go? He said, you said we could go outside and play till the fire alarm went off, and we never heard it go off. So that's pretty smart kids right there. But it is good to be out to God's house tonight. Dan asked me to share a Christmas thought and a Christmas message with you, and God laid something on my heart about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and this was before he asked me to do this, so I was thankful that he did it. But I'm a huge sports fan, as I told you all last time, and I don't watch much NBA anymore because it's just not like it used to be. But I love to root for the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics are my favorite basketball team. Any Celtics fans in here besides me? Okay, that's great. Larry Bird, yeah. Kevin McHale, Bill Walton, Danny Ainge, all of them. Now, my mom's a Lakers fan, but that's okay. God loves her too. So we had some heated moments around the house when the Celtics and the Lakers was playing. Well, I forgot their names, part of the royal family. I think it was Prince William and Kate. Do I have that right, Lene? Is that their names? Prince William and Kate, they went to the Celtics game about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And in the press conference after the game, they asked the coach of the Celtics, you know, how did it feel to have a royal couple in attendance at your basketball game this evening? And the Celtics coach looked at that reporter as serious as he possibly could, and he said, I only know of one royal family. That's Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Amen. And man, that hit me like a ton of bricks, and that you talk about silencing a media pool of people. That nobody knew what to say after that. And I don't know who else has heard that or anything like that, and I don't know what religion he's in. I don't know what kind of church he goes to or anything like that, but to me it doesn't matter. I don't think he could have gave a better answer. So this is kind of the route that we're going with tonight, and I don't mean any disrespect to the royal family that's over in England. I know that that is a part of their monarchy, that's a part of their culture and anything like that, so I'm not here to run that down tonight. I'm just here to edify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to do that by running anybody down or anything like that. But one thing about the royal family, let's just go ahead and read this verse, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Keith, I'm going to ask you to stand and pray for me tonight, buddy. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Keith, for that prayer tonight. And we're just going to take 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And there's about 6 or 7 messages just in that one verse. And a good preacher like Dan could get a hold of that and do a wonderful job. But we're just going to take our time and go through that tonight and just say what God would have us to say. But the first part of that verse says, but ye are a chosen generation. Now, if you think about the royal family over in England tonight, and I'm going to use them as an illustration for it to kind of make sense in our world over here and being a Christian and things like that, but not just anybody in the royal family over in England can become king or queen. If you're just an average citizen in England, you will never become king or queen. Nobody here in the United States of America could ever become king or queen over in Great Britain because we are not part of that royal family. And we all know tonight that Queen Elizabeth took over for her father, King George VI, when he died. And Queen Elizabeth died here recently. And now King Charles III has ascended to the throne. And then after that, there's going to be another royal member of that family that will ascend to the throne after that. But you have to be a part of that family tree. You have to be a part of that chosen generation in England to ever become king or queen. Well, then I got to thinking about us as the children of God tonight. And are you not thankful, praise God, that all of us here are a chosen generation? And then I got to thinking about God's holy word. And every generation, and I don't know how long a generation is or anything like that. All I know is Keith Blevins calls me a millennial all the time just to get under my skin and things like that. But I do know tonight that God always has something going on in every generation. You look in Noah's time and you had the flood. You look in Moses' time, he brought the children out of Egypt and things like that. And then there was a generation of Elijah and Elisha and how wonderful and how great those men of God were. And then we can read in God's holy word that there was a years of silence where nothing was going on or anything like that. But do you know what God broke that silence with? The birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that we know that's why that we are here to celebrate Christmas. I'll get into that a little bit later on. But every generation, it seems like God is doing something. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. We are part of the generation of Jesus' return. That is the generation that we are living in right now, and how thankful that we all can be for that. But I want to read a verse here to you from Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 about us all being a chosen generation. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us." Not towards people just in Tennessee, not towards people just in England, not towards people just that live in Possum Hollow or anything like that, praise God, but God commendeth His love toward us. That is everybody. The people in jail tonight, God loves them. The people that are living out in the world tonight that are not in church, that are still living in their sins, that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, do you know what? God loves them. I want to tell you right now, while you were a sinner and you didn't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, thank God that God loved you. He had every reason not to love you, but He looked through all that filth and He looked through all that sin and He looked through all that wretchedness and He looked at your righteousness and your righteousness was nothing but filthy rags. But He also looked at somebody and said, "Hey, you know what? That's my chosen generation, praise God. That's my people, praise God. Yeah, they might be full of sin. Yeah, they might not be any righteousness in them, but I love them, praise God. I created them, hallelujah, just like Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, yes, they had to go through a moment of punishment, but praise God, God still showed them mercy. Why? Because Adam and Eve was a part of the chosen generation. Thank God tonight, God still shows us mercy because we are a part of His chosen generation tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, thank God for that. How thankful that we all can be. So yes, a chosen generation. So if somebody asks you, yeah, hey, you're not a part of the royal family, there ain't nothing special about you, I want you to look them in the eyes and say, that's not what God's Word says. I'm a part of a chosen generation tonight, hallelujah. That should make you feel good, okay? And I know there's a season for everything, but everything that God has given me tonight is to be uplifting to God's people tonight, okay? So I hope it uplifts you, all right? And yes, I do get a little wound up and a little excited sometimes. So, but one thing I've noticed, it'd been a while since I got up to speak and anything like that. I put on about 15, 20 pounds. I don't even think his jacket will button. That's embarrassing. That is absolutely embarrassing. But a lot of that has to do with kids. You know, all we do is eat junk. I mean, McDonald's. That's all we eat is McDonald's. But praise God for it. I love it, all right? It's good. Them chicken nuggets, gosh almighty. That reminds me, Eddie and Suzanne and Logan and Riley, Ellie, the oldest daughter, she loves Logan and Riley, Ry and Logan. because they got a farm. They got donkeys and they got cows and they got chickens. So we took the girls over there one day, and Logan and Rai Rai was showing them all the animals. And Ellie looked at Rai Rai, saw them chickens in that coop, and said, "Chicken nuggies." It's like, yep, that's where they come from. All right, chicken nuggies. All right, so let's go on to the second part of that verse. A royal priesthood.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this tonight, and I know that, you know, the royal family, they are royal. No disrespect towards them. I don't mean any disrespect towards them at all. But I also want to tell you something. If you're a Christian tonight, you got royal blood flowing through your veins.
Amen.
Royal blood is flowing through your veins. What does royal mean? Royal is a status. It means that you are a king. It means that you are a queen, or you are a member of a royal family. Now, in the royal family that we are all in tonight, there ain't none of us the king or the queen. There's only one king, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So in this royal family, in this family tree of Christianity, if that's what you want to call it, Jesus is the king. And Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are all the same, so you can throw all them in there too, okay? Amen. They are all the king of the royal family. So none of us are ever going to be a king or queen, but man alive, I'm thankful that I can say that I'm a member. I'm a member of the royal family. Now, I believe in church membership. I believe in joining and getting involved in a church and working in a church and things like that. And I also believe you don't have to be a member of a church to work in it and get involved or anything like that. I understand that too. But I believe, praise God, I'm proud to say that I'm a member of God's family.
Amen.
I'm proud to say that I'm a child of God. I'm proud to say that I'm a blood-bought Christian, praise God. And I know pride and stuff can get in the way, but I don't mean it that way. I'm not proud of anything that I've done, and you shouldn't be proud of anything that you've done, because you could not do one thing to become a member of that royal family. It all started. You got access to the royal family when Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem. That's when God was opening the door saying, "Hey, I want my family to get a little bit bigger. I want some more royal members of my family." So royal is a status, king or queen of a royal family. In Hebrew it means kingly. In Greek it means queenly and king-like. And then priesthood also has a Hebrew meaning. And I got to looking that up, and that's something I never did till I started listening to Dan preach. And he would always bring up Hebrew and Greek meanings. And I got to thinking about that. You know, we should do that. So priesthood in Hebrew means exclusive and responsible. Exclusive. Now, when you think about the word exclusive tonight, that means it's not for everybody. That's an exclusive member. Like, you might be an exclusive member of a golf club or something like that. Or you might be an exclusive member of some type of a shopping thing or anything like that. I swear, with all the Amazon Prime packages we get, I think we're exclusive members of Amazon. It seems like all the time there's packages coming up there. Lene, where are you at? Yeah. Yeah. There. So I can tell your list, you probably got an update on your smartwatch phone thing that the package has been delivered. Yeah, you ain't listening, okay? It got so bad. Amazon's up there so much, I felt so sorry for them. I put snacks out on the porch. I did. I put a box of snacks on the porch for them and some water. Exclusive. Now listen, salvation is for everybody. Anybody can become a part of God's royal family. But only those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior have exclusive membership. You're saved tonight. You're a part of the royal family. You are a part of a royal family. You are a chosen generation, and you are a part of that royal priesthood. You've got exclusive access tonight. Backstage passes. You're front row. That's how much God thinks of you. That's how much God loves you. People that are lost, God still loves them, but they're on the outside looking in. But praise God, we're not on the outside looking in, hallelujah. We're on the inside praising and worshiping God.
Amen.
And we get direct access to our priest.
Yeah.
We don't have to go in some corner room, and you don't have to confess to me. You don't have to confess to Dan. You don't have to confess to Preacher Ray. You don't have to confess to any other preacher that you know. No, you get to talk to Jesus directly. Man, that's exclusive right there. It don't get any more exclusive than that. But then also, priesthood in Hebrew means that you have a responsibility. Now, if you look at the priest in the Old Testament, specifically Aaron, he had certain things he had to wear. He had certain ways he had to dress. When he went and got a lamb, it had to be without blemish. He had to follow all of these guidelines. And you look at the tabernacle and things like that. There was the inner part and the outer part and the inner part and all those things. And I'm not smart enough to go through a brief overview of that or anything like that tonight. But there were specific responsibilities that Aaron, the high priest, had to follow. That was a part of his priesthood. Well, if we are a chosen generation tonight and if we are a royal priesthood, we've got some responsibilities we got to do. Now, if you think about the royal family over in England tonight, they've got to make appearances. They've got to go to these parties, and they've got to do charity work, and they've got to go all over the world, and they've got to give speeches and all that stuff. That is a part of their royal responsibility. Well, tonight, us as Christians, we have some royal responsibilities to our priesthood. One of them is go to church. Thank God for it. I love going to church, don't you? I love it. I love to see you all. I love to hear Dan preach. I love to hear the singing. I love praying. I love talking. Another part is fellowship. We got to do that last night, didn't we? Man, that's fun. And I'll say, I believe this with all my heart, soul, and mind. If a Christian tells you they don't enjoy going to church and they don't enjoy fellowshipping with God's people, I don't think they're saved tonight. It's impossible to be saved and say, well, I don't like going to church. I don't like fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters in Christ. A Christian don't say that. It's not what a Christian says. Thank God for the royal responsibilities that we have. Reading God's holy word is a royal responsibility that we have. Amen. Praying is a royal responsibility that we have. Bringing our kids and grandkids up in God's house, those are all royal responsibilities that we have. Checking on one another, praying for one another, being there for one another during hard and difficult times, helping each other when we stumble and fall. Those are all a part of the royal priesthood or the royal responsibilities that we all have. And thank God for the royal responsibilities that we have. I don't dread coming to church. I don't dread getting up to sing in the choir. We shouldn't dread praying or anything like that. That should be some of the most exciting things that we do is a part of our royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the world will get you to think it's the other way around. The world will get so busy and you'll be tired. You may work 48 hours, 60 hours, 70 hours a week and Sunday gets around and man, I'm just so exhausted. And listen, I know how the devil works. You will have the greatest week ever and wake up Sunday morning and son, it just went crazy. I know that's happened to us a few times, getting ready for church in the morning, and the kids will be ready to walk out the door, and boom, just like that, two diaper blowouts. Automatically, we're 15 minutes behind. Straight from the devil, all right? And I'm talking about Ellie and Addie, I'm not talking about me, all right? Two diaper blowouts, okay? But the devil will do that. You go out to your car won't start. You'll have a flat tire. You go to bed Saturday night, Tennessee's just won by 40, you're fired up, you're excited, you wake up the next morning and you see Hendon Hooker didn't make the Heisman final list, didn't get invited to New York, and it puts you in a sour mood. I know that sounds silly, but that's the devil. The devil trying to get us discouraged, the devil trying to get us upset, and things like that. Listen, the church ought to be the most excited people in the day and the time that we're living in. The world should be walking around with their head down. The world should be caught up in what's going on in the news because they don't know any better. But praise God, we're a part of a chosen generation. We're a part of a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. We should be happy. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for it. Yeah. And if you can tell, it did bother me that Hendon Hooker didn't get invited to New York. Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Next part of that. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And the next part is this, a holy nation. Now I believe at one point in time, and there's people that's been on this earth a lot longer than I have, and there's people that's been on this earth as Americans a lot longer than I have, and things like that. But there was probably a time that the United States as America as a whole was probably a holy nation. I don't know if it is anymore. I'm not smart enough to know that. I don't keep up enough what's going on to know if it is a holy nation anymore. But what makes a nation holy? Well, what makes a nation holy is this: God has a purpose for all of our lives. And if God's purpose prevails in our life, then as an individual, you're allowing the holiness of God to work through you. But if you put your personal needs before God, you are not allowing the holiness of God to work through you. And I'm speaking to myself as a Christian. Listen, this is just as much for me as it is for any of you. Even as Christians sometimes we get tangled up and we will put our own purpose before God's. I'm not ashamed to say that I've done that. I'm a human being. I've done it. I have done that before. Even as a Christian, I have put my own purposes, my own dreams, my own desires before I have put God's. And I'll tell you right now, 100% of the time, you regret it. You regret it. 100% you regret it. But I'll tell you what's great about it, is even though you regret it, and even though you know you ended up being wrong, and even though God was watching the whole time, and even though God knows you ended up being wrong, God will pick you back up and set you exactly where you're supposed to be. And say, all right, let's try again. Man, ain't God's love and sovereignty great?
Amen.
Thank God for the patience of God.
Yeah.
I've seen parents, being a teacher, I have seen parents lose patience on their kids on a whim just like that. I had a parent one time that said, Mr. Kaubach, if you don't care, next time my child acts up, when I was in school, they believed in the paddle. They didn't spare the rod. The next time he acts up, I want you to paddle him. And I said, sir, I wouldn't mind to, but that's illegal now. They won't let us do that. They won't. They won't let you paddle in school anymore. That's a debate for another day, okay? And he said, what? I said, yeah. He said, well, I might homeschool my kid. And then I started to feel sorry for that kid. I was like, oh, that probably ain't good. I got paddled.
Yeah.
Nina gave me a good one once. Dad, I don't remember if you ever gave me a paddle. Papaw Sonny, Mom's dad, I never will forget this. He was quizzing me. And I'm just sharing some of my life with y'all because y'all don't know a whole lot about me. He was quizzing me on my spelling words. And Papa Ray used to help me write sentences. Sea cat run, sea dog run, things like that. I'd take those sentences to school, turn them in, and the teachers was worried. They was concerned. Like, what, me? It was my grandfather. But Papa Sonny, I remember one time, we was studying spelling words or something. I don't remember what it was. Or maybe I'd act up. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. He said, Nick, I'm going to take you to the bedroom. You're going to get a whooping. I was like, okay. I was scared to death. He was a Marine. I was terrified. We went in there. He looked at me and he said, all right, when I smack that bed really hard, I want you to yell. And every time he smacked that bed with that belt, I yelled. I never will forget that. Funniest thing that ever happened. Do you remember that, Mom? I don't know if you remember that or not. Funniest thing that ever happened.
He did the same thing with me, though.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I never will forget that. Funny times. I forgot what we was preaching on. God's setting you straight. Thank God for the times He sets us straight. There's the love of God, it's mercy and grace, and then there's the tough love. I want to tell you something. When me and Lene's got to share that tough love with Ellie and Addie, I don't like it one bit, but I know we got to. I remember the first time I gave Ellie a spanking. Man, it ripped my heart out. I cried worse than she did. But then I got to thinking about an illustration of that. How do you think God feels when He has to see us go through something or punish us? I think it hurts His heart too. I think it does. So thank God for His sovereignty, His love, His grace, His patience. But if we want to be a holy people, if we want the holiness of God, again, that's important, the holiness of God. I don't want the holiness of Nick Kaubach working through me because they ain't none there. You don't want the holiness of yourself working through you because they ain't none there. We want the holiness of God working through us. And how? Well, you say, well, how can the holiness of God work through us? We are a chosen generation and we are a part of a royal priesthood. That means the holiness of God can work through us. That means God's purpose will prevail over our purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us and called us to a holy calling. A lot of people say preachers and ministers have a holy calling. They do. But praise God, every Christian's got a holy calling.
Amen.
It's not just for ministers and preachers and deacons and trustees and things like that. Every Christian has a holy calling. Not according to our works. That goes back to our original point. God's purpose has to prevail over ours. You can work and work and work and work and work all you want, but if it ain't God's purpose for your life, there ain't no holiness in that. That's your own purpose and your own needs coming before God's. But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I think a lot of the problems that are going on in the world today and in other countries today and even church houses today, that word holy don't mean nothing anymore. That word holy has been trampled upon, has been mocked at, has been made fun of. What some churches are allowing in now, doing same-sex marriages and allowing being pro-transgender and changing your sex and all that stuff. Listen, that's the day and the time that we are living in today. And that is a mockery to the word holy. That is a mockery to the word holy. So yes, we can be a holy people. We can be a holy church tonight. Liberty Fellowship can be a holy church tonight as long as we allow God and His holiness to work through all of us. We all can do that. It's Him. God gets all the glory and all the honor and all the credit for that. And then the next part of that is a peculiar people. Now, what does peculiar mean? I read this definition and Dan popped into my head. Strange, odd, and unusual. Strange, odd, and unusual. Peculiar is different. Or another word, I just heard Dan say it, is special. Special. Precious. Now, how can we be peculiar people? Well, because we're a chosen generation, we're a part of the royal priesthood, we have the holiness of God working inside of us, and if you have those three things, you are a peculiar person. You are a peculiar person. Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity." I want to stop right there just for a second. It didn't say redeem us from iniquity. It said all iniquity. That word all is important.
It is.
Every one of them. The blood washed away every sin. Not just 5, 6, 7, or 8, or not just these, or not just those, but every single one of them. Jesus came into this world and was born of a virgin and died on the cross of Calvary and rose on the third day to wash away all sins. Thank God for it. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What is a peculiar person right here? Well, we find out the last part of this verse. Somebody that is zealous, that is eager, that is excited to do good works. It is in our Adam nature, it is in our human nature to want to sin. We are all born with that desire. We all are born with that desire. So what the Bible is saying right here, the opposite of that is wanting to do good. Hallelujah. But here's the big part of it. You're not doing good to get yourself recognized. You're not doing good to get your family name recognized. You're not doing good to get your church recognized or anything like that. But no, praise God, you are doing these zealous good works, excited about working for the Lord, living a holy life, being a part of the royal priesthood, being a chosen generation. You are doing all of these things so that God can be glorified. So that God gets the glory and the honor and the credit. So that God gets the praise and the worship. He's the only one worthy of the praise and the worship. There ain't nothing you can praise me for. There ain't nothing I can praise you for. But hallelujah, praise God. We can give God all the credit and glory and honor tonight.
Amen.
That's a peculiar people. Special. And then I got to think about that strange, odd, and unusual. This lost and dying world better think us as Christians are strange, odd, and unusual. I hope they think that we're absolutely crazy. I hope they think we're nuts. I hope they think we're strange. I hope they think we're unusual, because we ain't supposed to be like them. Amen. Ain't a word, but it is. Yeah. I'm glad you all laugh. I've preached in some churches before and you try to be funny and they don't like it. Man, that scared me. I didn't like it. Which, as silly as Dan is, y'all got plenty to laugh about. And then to get to the last part of this, and I'll let you go. Dan's been a good friend to me. He's helped me and my family out a lot. And I'm very thankful. That's why I aggravate him so much. Because he's been a big help to me. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you. And this gets to what you spoke on a little bit this morning, Dan. Show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Not just a light, a marvelous light. Now I got to thinking, these lights right here are beautiful. We got these lights in these windows, the candles burning. I know when me and my family pull in, we can always see these candles burning in the window, giving off light. Thankful for those lights. Thankful for the lights in our homes. Thankful for Christmas lights. I'm like Dan, I love Christmas lights and things like that. I enjoy that. I want to tell y'all something. As beautiful as the lights are that we see in this world, when we get to heaven and we see that light that's in heaven, none of these is going to compare to it. And the thing about this light, it's not going to be coming from some lamp. It's not going to be coming from some chandelier. It's not going to be coming from the sun, S-U-N. Good job, John. I like it. It's going to be coming from the sun, S-O-N. What does Revelation 21:23 say? And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God. Now I want you to think about that for a second. Imagine being in a place so holy. There's no electricity. There's no lamps. There's no bulbs. There's no Christmas lights. There's no sun, S-U-N. But there is still light there. It's not dark. But there's nothing. It don't make any sense, does it? Well, yeah, it does. The glory of God did lighten it. Man alive, imagine being in a place that's so holy, that the glory of God is so powerful, that the glory of God is so marvelous, that the glory of God is so great, hallelujah, that there's this shining brightness, praise God. Amen. We've never seen anything like that. We've not. But praise God, we will, hallelujah. One day our faith will end in sight, praise God, and we'll see the marvelous light that awaits the saints of old in the heavenly palace, praise God, hallelujah tonight. Thank God for it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus will be the light. The S-U-N. Then I got to thinking about the royals over in England. The Queen, or King Charles the, I didn't want to get his name, King Charles III now. He lives in Buckingham Palace. Him and his wife and whoever else there. All the other royal families, members, they've got castles. I don't know how many castles they own, but they've all got different castles and things like that. And again, this is no knock towards them, because I don't want you to think that. Because that's not what, if you leave thinking, Nick made fun of the royal family. No, just uplift Jesus Christ. Amen. So I don't want you to think that. But they all have keys to a palace. Only person that can live in Buckingham Palace is the king and his family. The only people that can live in those houses, those big castles over there in England and things like that, is if you are part of the king's family. They all have a Buckingham Palace, I guess you could say, to live in. I want to tell you something as a Christian. Your Buckingham Palace awaits. Your mansion awaits you. You might not have keys to it on this side. The world may not think of you much on this side. You may have a heater at your house that it gets so cold it don't work sometimes. You may have a couch you've had for 40 years uncomfortable and things like that. And you're saying, well, how in the world am I going to have a palace one day? Listen, Jesus Christ is preparing a mansion for you. And that is going to be your quote-unquote royal family member, Buckingham Palace. And I'll tell you right now, it'll blow that one in England completely out of the water, okay? So I hope y'all got something from that tonight. I want you to know you are a part of a royal family. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. And you've got a Buckingham Palace waiting on you.
Amen.
Amen. And I like to think when we all get up there, we're all going to be neighbors and things like that. And if anybody makes good biscuits and gravy in heaven, let me know. I'll be there, okay? At the palace. Dan, you want to come up here and dismiss? Or do you, what do you, what do you want, how you want to do this, buddy?
Appreciate that, don't you? Yeah. Peculiar. That's me. When I learned that I wasn't only different, that the word peculiar meant I was precious to Him, I was okay with being different. From that day on, let me be different. Amen. Nick, thank you, brother, for that. That was good stuff. Yeah, now they'll expect me to preach with that kind of enthusiasm. I'll try not to let you down. It's good to be here tonight, and good to have your family and friends, Nick. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And if you don't have a church to worship in, we'd love to have you here. Just come make yourself a part of it. So all you got to do is show up. Because we're already, if you're a child of God, you're already, as Nick said, a part of that family, the family of God, the royal priesthood. I don't have to go before a priest to get my sins taken care of. I'm my own priest. Amen? That's good stuff. And I don't know, did I understand you work with Nick, Keith? Keith? We're sorry. Yeah. Well, you keep doing it. I sent Nick a little something on his phone. You know how you text now. Everybody texts. I sent him a little thing on his phone the other day, and it says, you can't scare me. I'm a teacher. Okay, let's stand to our feet, please, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. And if you would come back Wednesday night, it's going to be very, very informal. Anybody in the congregation is going to be able to stand up and just tell a good memory that you have for Christmas, or when you first learned how what Christmas meant to you in a spiritual sense or in any other way. I have so many good stories about Christmas, and they're all good. If you lived back in my day, you would have enjoyed getting chocolate drops. Huh? An orange. Brazil nuts that you couldn't get into. I'm telling you, I have some we went down the field and cut our tree. We didn't go to the tree farm. The tree farm was anything that God grew down in the field. And by the time you got back home, you were eat up with it. That thing would tear you all to pieces, but you were so glad to get there. And then your mama showed you how to throw those big old streamers on it, you know, you literally threw stuff on it. And if it landed right, it was okay. If it didn't, it was okay, as long as it stuck to it. Then when we put the lights on, everything was good. Amen? I'm just giving you a little Norman Rockwell stuff there. And this congregation reminds me a little bit of Norman Rockwell stuff. Y'all look so normal. We're peculiar people. Okay, let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. And Liam, would you do that, please?